Massive, massive news last night broke that the former Oklahoma quarterback and Heisman frontrunner, preseason frontrunner, is now a South Carolina Gamecock. And it has never felt better to be a Gamecock. Mikey, before I get into it, I got a lot to say.
So my thoughts about it were, you know, I was kind of skeptical to see if he was actually going to come here or not, because I know he was thinking about Ole Miss. And you know how USC is. We always miss out on big names. But when I saw that, I couldn't be more ecstatic. You know, people want to talk about how he didn't do well last season. He got benched. You know, it is what it is. But, I mean, the season before, I mean, he absolutely went off. He was in the Heisman running, and he's a huge upgrade from our quarterbacks. I mean, we have Zeb Nolan, a grad assistant that came in for us. Luke Doty was hurt for most of the year, and we had a guy in Jason Brown who he played well, but he's from JUCO. It was his first year at a big school. I mean, this is just a huge upgrade. You know, Shane Beamer bringing in the Oklahoma guys. We've got their tight end too. It's an exciting time to be a Gamecock for once in our lives. I mean, we'll see how the season goes, but I'm excited. We got some hope right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, the thing that bothers me probably the most is going on social media when it happens, and all you read in comments is he's not that good, he's this, he's that. First of all, obviously, this guy has talent. Okay, when he started Oklahoma last year, that he threw for 3,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. Okay,
he lost.
Yeah, guy definitely has talent. And the thing is, this year he started out a little slow, but he still wasn't playing that bad. They go down by a lot. He plays really bad against Texas. He has a really bad game. Freshman comes in, leads a 17-point comeback. They beat Texas. They give him the job. He keeps the job rest of the year. That's not to say that Spencer Rattler is just bad. I mean, that's just, you don't want to be like us where you're flipping quarterbacks over and over. They stuck with the freshman and they let him ride. But at the end of the day, Spencer Rattler goes off against Texas. He starts this whole year. So people forget how good he really is. And another thing I read is he doesn't want a part of the SEC. He doesn't want a part of the SEC. Well, here's what people forget. Last year in their bowl game, they played the number 7 Florida Gators, and Spencer Rattler went off, okay?
Yeah.
He goes for 204, basically 250 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions, and that's against an SEC defense. I am not going to sit here and say that now we are national champion contenders. I'm not going to sit here and say that we're even SEC contenders. But if you – for a fan base like us, when you have what you said, we went Colin Hill – we go Jake Bentley, who up and down, but still Jake Bentley, Colin Hill, 3 different quarterbacks this year. Be happy. I mean, be happy for us. I mean, this is definitely an upgrade for us. I mean, the biggest problem we've had is we've had statues back there as quarterbacks. Now we also got a guy who can move with his legs for offensive line play as bad as it has this year. I mean, it's a great time to be a Gamecock. I'm hoping Kevin Harris stays. That is the biggest thing, is because – we need weapons around him for us to be successful at all. Bringing in a tight end, that's a big deal. I'm hoping Josh Van, I hope he stays as well. If we get some more talent around him, man, this offense could be fun, because that was our defense was not bad this year. The Gamecock defense was not bad this year at all. And that showed against Florida, that showed against Auburn. So, you know, it's a great time. People saying Spencer Rattler's this, Spencer Rattler's not that. I don't want to hear any of it.
We're gonna come see this season to see what he's all about, but you got to be excited about the pieces we have around him. Hopefully Kevin Harris doesn't go to the draft and he stays with us. I think he will. We still got Marshawn Lloyd if he doesn't leave. Josh Van had a come-out year this year. He looks like a true number one guy. You know, we picked up a 4-star linebacker. That was awesome. I mean, we're getting recruits in. I mean, I think we're 15th in recruiting right now. I mean, and this is Shane Beamer's. He's going into his second year, so it's only uphill from here. Like, it's only trending up. We're not trending down anymore, thank God. It's not like when we had Will Muschamp, where we had hope, but it was false hope. Like, we all kind of knew that we weren't going to be that good. I truly believe we can be good. Like you said, I don't think we're national champions. I don't think we're going to win the SEC, but I think we're going to win more than 6 games. We're going to be competitive. I could see us being ranked in, like, the top 20. Not okay, like 20 to 25. But I mean, coming from a 6-win team right now to be ranked and win maybe 8-9 games, maybe. I mean, that's huge, and a coach's second year.
Yeah, and I absolutely. And the, first of all, the transfer portal has helped us. Amazing. Shane Beamer has worked the heck out of that. And there's only more to come. I mean, we're not even close to the end of this.
Yeah.
We're coming in. And what you were saying off of the SEC and not competing, I mean, you saw what we did to Florida this year. You saw how we played Auburn, who took Alabama to the wire. I think it's very realistic to say that that game against Georgia next year is going to determine who wins the East. I think that's a possibility. I genuinely do. Now, South Carolina, we even with way better teams, we've choked in the East before. But
yeah,
I don't know. I think we're definitely the second best team in the East now. Now that we have a quarterback, yeah. If you can win six games with three different quarterbacks and you look at the talent at that quarterback position that we had to win six games, it's very feasible to say eight, nine wins next year is very doable.
Yeah, for sure. And I saw that apparently we have some huge name coming to South Carolina. They're going to announce it tomorrow. I don't know if that's through the transfer portal or if it's going to be a recruit. I think it's for the transfer portal. Don't quote me on that, but it seems like we're getting guys to buy into what Beamer's talking about, and that's just exciting. Because when you have a culture around you that's changing and everybody wants to be there and wants to play, that's how you win games right there. Whether you're the most talented or not, if you've got a great culture there, you can win games.
Exactly. And the thing about Beamer is he was there when the time period when we were winning games and we were a national powerhouse. He was there for that. And I think being around for that and knowing what it takes to win in South Carolina, I think he's incorporating the same stuff he was doing that we were doing in 2010 when we won the East, and in 2011 when we were an 11-win team. Yeah. So it's up. It's looking up for South Carolina. It really is, and I love it because even though I won't sit here and say Clemson's done and Clemson that, it's so funny that you go on Twitter and you go on Instagram, and in our comments and in our tweets, it's Clemson fans trying to take this from us because in the back of their head, they're like, they are kind of creeping up. Not we're not there yet. I'm not going to say we're Clemson. We're not even close to that right now. They got two national championships in the past couple of years. We're not there. But they have never been seen us on this kind of rise. We've always had some decent recruits, but they've never worked. You see this momentum and you see what's happening here with Shane Beamer. I think in the back of their head, it's scaring them just a little.
Yeah. And we might not beat them this year. I think we have a shot. I mean, I thought we had a shot.
I'll say that again.
Last game, but, you know, it's looking up. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens. If not this year, I think in the next couple of years, we're going to see a huge change in South Carolina football. I think we're going to get back to old ways. And it's going to take some time because we've been so bad for so long, and that's – you got to take some time to get everything right, and hopefully we got the right head coach now. And if we got the right head coach, I think we can do some damage here.
Yeah, and I just have one more thing to say on the matter. If you are a Clemson fan, get off of our football team's Instagram page, get off of our Twitter, and let us live. I don't know why you guys have won two national championships. You guys are even though a down year for you guys this year, which we would have prayed to have a year like you did this year. You guys are still a powerhouse, a dominant dynasty in college football. And why? And you just beat us 30-0, and you've beaten us 7 years in a row. Why are you in our comments? Leave us alone. Get out. I'm so sick of that. I am a very reasonable fan when it comes to Clemson. I try to be because right now I have nothing to say against them. I can't say anything. All I can say is stop being annoying. This is just about humility. This is about being a person. Get out of our comment section. I am so sick of seeing Clemson fans. Like, leave us alone and go worry about winning the national championship. Because right now, we just want to get to a bowl game. Okay? So leave us alone.
We just want to win a bowl game.
Yeah. So
we made a bowl game. We just want to win it now. Yeah. But, I mean, it is what it is. I'll still talk shit about Clemson just because it's Clemson. And we got buddies there, and it's just all fun and games. But in all seriousness, we know you guys are better. We've known it for a while. Exactly. But in the next couple of years, we'll talk. And we'll come back to this in med state.
Yeah, you see what Beamer's doing now. Give us time. But for the time being, man, let us be happy. I mean, you've got Deshaun Watson's and Trevor Lawrence's foot flying out everywhere. And then we get one transfer quarterback, and you guys just want to just take it from us and rip us apart. Leave us alone, man. Just leave us alone. We want no part of you right now. 30-0 is – I will not say a word to you about football, but as a fan base – you guys are so, so annoying. Like, I'm going on our page and I see more Clemson people commenting. It's just, I don't know.
They got nothing better to do. There's nothing to do there.
Yeah, they got nothing to do. Study hall, that's about it.
go tip some cows.
So anyway, Spencer Rattler's Gamecock, big news. Another thing that happened in college football since we last talked, Bryce Young, Heisman winner. I honestly didn't know much about his stats. I didn't know much. I just knew he was quarterback for Alabama, so obviously he was going to be in the finalist. Yeah. I'm looking at his stats right now, Michael. I don't know if you know him. They are insane.
He went off this year.
Dude, he threw for 4,300 yards, had a total of 43 touchdowns, 4 interceptions as a sophomore.
It's insane what he did. And that's why I can't go against Alabama. I think they're going to win it all for the sole fact, Bryce Young. What he's been able to do, so young too. I mean, he's a sophomore. I mean, you don't see that from like a sophomore quarterback. It just speaks volumes about Nick Saban. He's always had good quarterbacks, whether they pan out in the NFL or not. They're always solid in Alabama. And the man's got a hell of a work ethic, hell of a QB. He deserved Heisman 100%. There was no one even close that should have won it. There was no one even close.
Yep. And you know, and this is a stat I'm looking at right here because I'm like how they break this down. They say Alabama doesn't play anybody, and they say Alabama does this by not playing anybody. First of all, if you're a team like Cincinnati, you're a team like Clemson, you can't say that. You're not allowed. Your team like Notre Dame doesn't play a conference championship game. You're not allowed to say they don't play anybody. You're just not allowed because who they play is way harder than any of those three schedules. But yeah. Ohio State included. Ohio State's maybe the next one I would say that plays a harder one, but that's it. Looking at his stats right here, versus the AP top 25, he's thrown for 1,800 yards, 17 touchdowns, one pick.
Yeah.
He's thrown less than 1,000 yards against the top 25 than he has against
I'm really looking at the interceptions there. I mean, he just doesn't turn the ball over. He doesn't put his team in a hard position to win a game because he just doesn't turn the ball over. And that's so key in a football game. If you can win the turnover battle, you have a better shot of winning, and he just doesn't turn the ball over.
Ever.
And it's not like he's not turned the ball over, and he's – let's say he had no interception, but he didn't have these big numbers. That's one thing. Okay, he doesn't push the ball down the field. That's why he's not throwing interception, but you see his numbers. He's pushing the ball down the field. He's making explosive plays, and he's not turning the ball over. What else can you ask for from a guy?
Exactly. And the scary thing is, the two games that stick out to me for against Alabama that they really, really struggled – were A&M, which they lost, obviously, and Auburn, which they took the 4 overtimes. He's only threw 4 interceptions on the year. He threw an interception in each of those games. So his room for error, too, that's what's even more impressive. His room for error is none because he throws one pick and they almost lose or they do lose. So maybe that's a testament to the team around him. I mean, a quarterback's allowed to throw an interception, and you should as long as he's allowed to throw one and you still win the game. He throws one in each of those games, and they almost lose both, or they did lose one and almost lose to Auburn. Yeah, the guy, clear front runner for the Heisman. I have no complaints with that one at all. Bryce Young, Heisman Trophy winner. And I guess now we'll move into the NFL because it's a big week in the NFL. It was a huge week in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to think about it after last night with Spencer Rattler stuff, but big week.
Yeah, so I'll just start off with the Thursday night game. Obviously, that was my Steelers against the Vikings, and it was pitiful for three quarters. I turned the game off on the third quarter. It was pitiful. Our defense, there were multiple plays where there was a hole you could drive a legitimate car through. Dalvin Cook just had no one touching him. Steelers defense were not stopping the run. Part of it is because we don't have Stephon Tuitt. We don't have Tyson Alua. Those guys are both hurt. So that hurts us. T.J. Watt came out of the game early. Justin Jefferson legitimately should have had about 4 touchdowns in that game because Kirk Cousins missed him. Cam Sutton could not cover Justin Jefferson. He should have had 4 touchdowns. My thing is with the Steelers, don't know if we'll make the playoffs. I don't think we will. We can still make it because the AFC North is wide open with Cincinnati losing and the Ravens losing and the Raiders losing. So maybe we get a wild card. And the Bills. Wow, a lot of teams lost. There's a lot to go over. But
huge for
the Steelers, the past two or three games, we've played phenomenal in the fourth quarter. Against the Chargers, we were down 17-0. We come back, and if our defense didn't let Mike Williams score that touchdown, we probably win that game. And then against, obviously, the Vikings, fourth quarter, we come back, and Ben Roethlisberger puts a pass between three defenders to Pat Freiermuth. He had it in his hands. Three guys hit him, drops it. If we play like we do in the fourth quarter, we would be a solid team. But unfortunately, our offensive line is still not there yet. Our defense is looking terrible. I know we've had a lot of injuries. Don't think the Steelers are going to make it for the sole purposes. Our offensive line can't block, and our defense is just looking atrocious. Like, it's bad. It's so bad. So, Steelers, I don't think they got a shot. We're going to move on to – I'm not going to talk about the Saints, Jets. I mean, Jets are terrible. Saints look better, but they should have beat them. Taysom Hill.
Looks great.
Taysom Hill, I mean, I'm not going to say he's the guy. I'm not going to say he's not the guy. I think we need to see more. I know you think Taysom Hill's a guy in New Orleans.
I do. I believe it. I mean, he comes in last year, wins games. He comes in this year, wins games. I mean, and you sign him to an extension. You got to just give him a shot, ride with him. Until he gives you a reason to bench him, keep him out there. And there's no reason to bench him after that game. It was a dominant performance by the Saints all around. So, yeah, I think he's definitely the guy.
Raiders, that game, poor Raiders. It seems to happen every year with them. They start off so hot, and then they just fall right off. I mean, they lost, 48-9? Yeah, 48-9. They did it last year too. They start off so hot, and then it just goes downhill. They can't keep up that play.
Well, it's also the back of Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr is a big role to play in that. Very inconsistent quarterback. Can go off some games, can play really inconsistent the next.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe it's just this year because they lost John Gruden, and they lost him, obviously, with the Henry Ruggs situation too. But at this point, do you move on from Derek Carr? Do you not move on from Derek Carr? I don't think you do. I think Derek Carr's a good quarterback. I think you just need a better coach. John Gruden could have been that guy, but everything that went on with him, he's obviously not there anymore for good reason. But Raiders, I mean, I think they're out of it. I don't think they're going to make it now.
And also, this is a testament to the Chiefs. The Chiefs are rolling into form right now. Form. That's scary for the entire AFC because they are rolling into form.
They're the hottest team right now. Their defense since week 9 has been the best defense in the NFL.
And the whole league was keeping their fingers crossed the Chiefs would keep up their bad play all year that they started off with. But, man, they're coming into form. And you give them a playoff spot, it's hard for me to bet against them.
Yeah, it really is. They were 3-4. Now they're 9-4. So how does that happen? You start off 3-4 and you crawl all the way back. But a team that I don't see anybody beating is the Green Bay Packers. And for the sole purpose of that bad man, as Stephen A. Smith would say, Aaron Rodgers. That dude, he's playing with a broken pinky toe and just doesn't care. He goes out and slings the ball.
I mean, and when that team is healthy, I mean, you look at – you got one of the best running backs in the league in Aaron Jones. You have the best receiver in the league in Davante Adams. It's a very – now, I would say there's a slight lack of weapons on the outside, but even against the Bears, Alan Lazard popped off, had a great game of receptions. So, and a touchdown. Man, yeah. The key to them is their defense. If their defense shows up every week, I mean, they still gave up 30 to the Bears. Now, I know one was a special teams touchdown, but – and the defense touchdown, actually. But – if their defense plays consistent and plays well, it just gives Aaron Rodgers a chance. They're in every game.
They're still missing Alexander too. Their stud cornerback, he hasn't been out there. Once they get him back, I mean, it's gonna be hard. But I'm looking at my problem with this game I'm about to come up with right here, and I think everybody has a problem. I don't know if you watched it, the Buccaneers-Bills game. There was some bad calls, man. There was some terrible calls that costed the Bills a game. I feel bad for the Bills, legitimately. The Bills should have beat the Patriots. I went over it in the last podcast. Stephon Diggs dropped a wide-open touchdown. Dawson Knox dropped about 2 passes that would have been first down, so they didn't have to punt. They dropped another touchdown. They should have beat the Patriots, and then they should have beat the Bucs here. There was a clear pass interference call on Stephon Diggs. They didn't call it. It should have been a touchdown. There was multiple calls they missed that should have been called, and they never did. And they still found a way to crawl back into that game. And then in the overtime, Tom Brady hit the under route to – I don't know exactly – oh, it was Rashard Perriman. That was it. And they took and they won. Bills, I feel bad for – everyone's jumping off the bandwagon for the Bills. They're going to be good. They're going to be okay. I think they're going to win out here. They're going to beat the Patriots again. They're going to make the playoffs. And they're a scary team too. I don't care that they lost 2 straight. They shouldn't have lost 2 games. They should have won – both games. And if they won both games, we'd be looking at the Bills as the best team in the AFC when they should have won both those games.
Yep. No, I agree. I think the Bills are – as long – and that's another team. You just give them – if they're able to find their way and keep going to get a playoff spot, I mean, I'm not going to say I can't bet against them, but they're going to give any team a run for it, whether it's the Chiefs, yeah, or the Buccaneers, whoever it may be. They're going to give them a run. I said Buccaneers. That was not what I meant to say. But they're going to give them a run for their money. Yeah. So I think it's a team similar to the Chiefs where you give them a spot. I mean, they're better than the majority of teams in the AFC, even with, no matter what their record says. Now, yeah, there's three games I want to bring up specifically. I can actually, there's three, but the two games of the weekend I think were the best because I was able to watch the ending of both of them. Was one, we had the Ravens-Browns. Lamar Jackson goes down, carted off, scared the heck out of me, haven't been fantasy. He goes down. Ravens claw their way back in. I don't know if you – did you watch any of that game and how close it was?
Yeah, I watched some of it. Huntley kept him in that game. The score does not – when you look at the score, you're like, oh, that was a close game. But for most of that game, it was not a close game at all. I don't know how they came back at the end. But if you look at the score, you're like, wow. If you didn't watch the game, you would be like, wow, that was a really close game. But it really wasn't up until the end.
I mean, they had the ball with the chance to kick – with the chance to drive and get a field goal. There at the very end. Lamar Jackson, though, good news. I'm pretty sure he's going to be fine to go. The reports came out that he missed high ankle sprain. They thought they were scared it was a high ankle sprain, but it's minor. And he's kind of day-to-day, but they expect him to play Sunday. So that's good. The next game was a very fun one, very similar to that game in terms of the ending. The Cowboys-Washington. Great game. But this is just – this Cowboys team, man, very similar to the Raiders who started off hot. Started off very hot. They have looked very, very suspect these past couple weeks. A very good-looking team. And very close to losing that game to Washington.
I mean, they were killing them. It was like 27 to, I think, 8. And then Tyler Henneke, you know, makes a great pass to Carter Moss's – I almost said Stephon Diggs. Sorry.
Yeah, that's who he does.
The other Diggs. What's his name?
Trayvon.
Yeah, that's it. My bad. So, and then he goes down and Kyle Allen comes in, and Kyle Allen looked good. And they lost that game. They had a chance to go down and tie it, and Kyle Allen fumbles the football. They end up losing. Cowboys, I'm suspect of, you know, when it really matters, they don't show up. And they couldn't put the game away when they were up by – it was 27-8, and you can't put the game away. You allow Washington to come back with – a backup QB. I mean, that's you can't be doing that.
Yeah, that's a team I could very easily see having the first round. I think they'll make the playoffs. I think it's a first round exit, though. I'm being honest, I think it's whatever their first game is. I think it's a loss. I just don't see them punching up. It's the typical Cowboys.
Yeah, I don't trust the Cowboys either.
And then there's two more, but one I want to let you take the reins of because while this was a massive game in terms of the NFL with the Rams and Cardinals, massive game. I mean, this had very big implications. Cardinals could have clinched a playoff spot with a win. Rams pulled it out. This game was also very big for yourself in fantasy football. It was massive. So just a quick little story I want you to tell as to what happened.
Okay. So I'll try to make this as quick as I can. So if I win in my fantasy team, I had to win against our buddy David, who's also on this podcast. He's not here with us right now. And I'm going into – I have Matt Prater, and he has DeAndre Hopkins left, right? I'm down by 4 points. I'm thinking there's no way Matt Prater outscores DeAndre Hopkins.
Matt Prater's a kicker, for those who know. He's a kicker.
There's no way. So, you know, I kind of check the game at half, check the score, and I see I'm up by 4 points. DeAndre Hopkins only has 4. Matt Prater has 11. I'm like, there's no way. And the ending to this game was the most insane and nerve-wracking. I could not fathom. Couldn't. So we're going into the end of the game. DeAndre Hopkins, it's a fourth down. If the Rams stop him, it's basically game over. It's fourth down. DeAndre Hopkins, I'm up by 1 point at this point because he got caught a couple more passes. I'm up by 1 point. DeAndre Hopkins catches like a 15-yard pass. I think it's game over. And even before that, there was a fourth down, and I was like, oh, they can kick a 50-yard field goal with Matt Prater. I'm going to go up by like 5 points. They don't. They go for it. They didn't get it. So now, again, they're moving down the field. DeAndre Hopkins catches a pass. I'm like, it's over. And then they decide to kick the field goal to try to get the onside kick. I'm like, okay, if he makes his 40-yard field goal, I'm going back up. He makes it. So I'm back up. I think it's game over. I am like, it's game over. They're not getting the onside kick. I actually somehow won. Matt Prater scores 16. DeAndre Hopkins only has about like 8 or 7. to get the freaking onside kick. And I'm just thinking to myself, there's no way. Because if DeAndre Hopkins catches one more pass for about 10 yards, it's game over. I'm only up by a point. I'm up 138 to 137. DeAndre Hopkins actually got hurt last drive, didn't end up going in. I win by a point because Matt Prater scores 16 and DeAndre Hopkins scores 7, puts me in the playoffs for fantasy. It was the most nerve-wracking game I've ever watched because I had to have a kicker beat out DeAndre Hopkins, and somehow it happened.
And not only did you win this game, you knocked David out from the playoffs.
Yeah, he's out. I took the fourth seed right there.
David's gone.
Took the fourth seed, and yesterday I'm telling David early in the day, I'm like, there's just no way I'm going to win. And David, he was like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't see it happening, but it could. And I'm just like, there's no way. And then we're sitting here talking about me in the playoffs right now, and it's just – it is crazy.
But the thing about that, too, is that, one, first of all, didn't you pick up Matt Prater off waivers?
Yeah, because Nick Folk was out.
Another kicker that has carried you all year.
Nick Folk and the Patriots defense, baby. They've been carrying me to the playoffs, and they were both out. And I said, I need a kicker. Who can kick 50-yard bombs? I said, Matt Prater, gimme him. Came in clutch.
Dude, and then I was watching SportsCenter that night when I was going to sleep, and DeAndre Hopkins is notorious for never dropping passes. Like, he doesn't drop passes. That's like his thing. Does not drop passes.
He dropped a huge pass.
He dropped a slant that could have been a touchdown.
Yeah, he dropped it. I'm not trying to take skill for it. I did pick up Matt Prater because I knew he was going to score some points. But, man, I was lucky. But going off that game, going away from fantasy, Matthew Stafford, dude. Oh, he dropped three dimes. Three of the best passes, I think, of the week, and they were all by him. Huge 50-yard bomber to Van Jefferson, hit him in stride. Then he rolls out to the right, plants his feet, throws over his shoulder to Cooper Kupp, 50-yard drive. I'm trying to think of the last pass he made. Oh, the last pass was again to Cooper Kupp. Well, this pass came before the other one. He fits it in a small window, an inch. If it was an inch to the left, intercepted. Fits it to Cooper Kupp with a touchdown. I mean, this guy's hitting his stride. He wasn't playing well for the past 3 weeks. Everyone was writing him off, and he came back, and he performed amazing.
And me and you, early before the season even started, we knew Matt Stafford. I mean, we have clips. If you go back on our Instagram page, you can listen to us talk, you especially talking about Matt Stafford. We knew he was going to succeed in offense like this. That guy is a gunslinger, and he's the real deal, man. That Matt Stafford could take this team far. And then the last game to bring up, and this we're bringing this up not because there's not really much to talk about in terms of the game. It's more of the coaching staff that is involved in this game. The Titans beat the Jaguars 20-0. And first of all, Jaguars are abysmal. Trevor Lawrence looks abysmal. I'm not writing him off yet, though. It's very early rookie. You know, not a great offense. Not a great weapons around him. DJ Chark goes down early in the year. The biggest thing here is Urban Meyer, man, he might be out in 1 year. And that doesn't necessarily happen too much.
He should be. I mean, reports come out that he's calling his coach losers. That's not a culture you want to be around. That's not where players don't want to play for you. And you bench your best player to give to Carlos Hyde? Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, and it doesn't calling his coaches losers, challenging what they've accomplished in their career. I mean, Urban Meyer, what have you really accomplished, to be fair? I mean, yes, you got a national championship, a couple of national championships at the college level. You're talking to NFL assistant coaches.
Yeah.
And look at what you've done in your first year as an NFL coach. It's not a good look. And I think trust me, I love the story, the whole Tebow story. I think that was a bad look.
Yeah, it was.
The way he's handling this is just the what happened in the bar, the college bar with the
oh, yeah.
with the college age girl when he has a wife. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then now and to show for it, you're 2-11. I mean, you think if Bill Belichick did some of these things, people would be like, all right, well, you can keep doing whatever you want because you're Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
Bill Belichick could be 2-11 1 year for the Patriots, and they're still going to let him do this stuff. It's Bill Belichick. Yeah. You can't do this if you're Urban Meyer, your first year in the NFL, and you have all these headlines that are negative.
We knew this about him. I mean, his whole scandal of hiring or keeping a secret that the assistant coach, I think, and I might be wrong here, but the assistant coach with the domestic violence abuse or something like that. I mean, we knew he wasn't a good guy. We all knew he wasn't a good guy. People gave him the benefit of the doubt because he did great in college, and NFL's a whole different ballgame, and we're seeing that. and he plays favorites. I mean, Carlos Hyde is not better than James Robinson, and he's playing Carlos Hyde. And then he signed Tim Tebow, I mean, who hasn't played on the football field in God knows how long as a tight end. Granted, he did cut him, but I don't think he wanted to. I think he just knew he had to.
Yeah. I mean, and I just think at this point he's just reaching. He's reaching. And I don't know what the Jaguars are going to do because it is his first year, and he is transitioning from the college level. I think if he's this record – but he doesn't have this scandal breakout, or not really a scandal, but these reports break out of what he's saying to his coaches. And he doesn't have the thing happen with the girl. He doesn't sign Tim Tebow. If you're 2-11, but it's your first year, and you know you're transitioning, I think they keep him.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And have this many, and have this. You can't be this bad of a team and then have this many negative headlines around you.
Yeah, no, 100%. If he was 2-11 and he was keeping his head down and play, and we heard that the players loved him, they love playing for him. That's one thing.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But in the press conference when they lost, they asked about a safety. I don't know his exact name. They're like, hey, like, is he playing more? And he's like, well, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but he's definitely getting in the game more. He had zero snaps the whole game. Yeah. You don't even know who the player is. You don't know if he's playing. How can you be a head coach? It's ridiculous that he should be getting more hate. I think Urban Meyer should be out of there. I feel bad for Trevor Lawrence because I do think Trevor Lawrence is going to be a good quarterback, and he has no weapons around him. There was a video of two wide receivers. It was Chenault and someone else. They ran into each other on a play, and they both fell down. I mean, how can you have that?
And you've lost Agnew and you've lost Chark, too. Two people that were – first, Chark was the number one receiver. Agnew comes in, and he was stepping into that role as the number one receiver. You lose two of your star receivers. They give you Carlos Hyde behind you, so James Robinson. I mean, they're really – and the offensive line is abysmal. I mean, you need Trevor Lawrence for a bad defense. I mean – I think I'm not hating on Trevor Lawrence at all. I think Trevor Lawrence.
No, I think Trevor Lawrence, once he gets the right coach and gets some weapons around him, he will be fine. But it's interesting that you brought up Urban Meyer because there's another head coach who now is on kind of the hot seat, and that's Matt Rhule. And I don't think he should be on the hot seat. I mean, I saw what Matt Rhule did last year with Teddy Bridgewater, and I think they were 5-11, but they were in every single game. They could have won more, but Teddy Bridgewater couldn't get it done. He's doing better with the Broncos, but they had a – better defense, and they have better – I don't know if they have better weapons, but I mean, he's doing okay there. But who's he had at quarterback? He had Sam Darnold, who looked decent for the first three games. They go 3-0, and then he starts playing bad. Then you put PJ Walker in, who obviously is a backup QB at best, and then Cam Newton, not good. Cam Newton can't throw the football anymore. Whenever he got sacked by TJ Watt and his shoulder. He had to get that shoulder surgery. It just hasn't been the same. He can't throw the ball. And people are talking about Matt Rhule possibly getting fired and being out of Carolina after this year. And I don't think that's fair to him. I think if you get him a quarterback that can play, I think Matt Rhule would be a great head coach. I think he's built a good culture. He's got some good players around him. He's drafted well. So the whole Matt Rhule thing, I think, is terrible. I don't think he should be out. But there's reports going around the NFL right now that he could be out after this year.
So
I want to see what your thoughts are on that.
Well, a prime example of what you're saying with the whole quarterback thing, he gets a quarterback for 1 week, right? Cam Newton plays really well 1 week, and they beat the heck out of the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I mean, you give him a quarterback that's efficient, not a bad team. I mean, they beat the Cardinals 24-10. I think for him, he may be out. NFL's so cutthroat.
Yeah.
His last four games – are going to determine what his future is. They play the Bills, they play the Saints, and the Buccaneers twice. You win two or four of those games, I think he keeps his job. You finish two wins. You beat the Bills and you beat the Bucs once. You beat the Bucs once and split with the Bills or the Saints. I think you keep your job.
Yeah. And my thing is, there was one thing I didn't like that he did. Cam Newton wasn't playing bad this week, and they put in PJ Walker. I think when you have a rotation at quarterback in one game, you can't do that. You got to give one guy the start no matter what, unless he's playing that bad. Then you bench him. Then you give it to the other guy. You don't rotate him in and out. I think you stick with Cam. You're paying him money to be that starter. Stick with him for the rest of the season and see how it goes. But let Matt Rhule get a decent quarterback at least and see. And maybe next year, if they don't even have a decent quarterback, they got someone and he still can't win games, maybe let him go after that. But – I'm not out on the Matt Rhule thing yet. I think he's a good coach.
Yeah, I agree. I think how well he does at the end of the year, and then they maybe can bring another quarterback, whether it's they draft a quarterback or whatever it may be. I think you give him a shot. They keep it going. That, like I said, NFL's so cutthroat, he doesn't have too much time left. I just want to say one more thing before we go about this, because we haven't talked about NBA in a while. And I saw something today. LeBron James, right, 36 years of age.
Oh, man, the dude's 36. Balling.
36. Right now, in his past, I think that's 10 games, 39, 30, 33, 23, 30, 20, 33, 30.
And he's doing it at that age with also playmakers around him who, like Russell Westbrook, he obviously wants to score a lot. He's still putting up great numbers with players who are also great players that want to put up points too, and he's still doing it.
4 double-doubles in that span, 3 triple-doubles in that span.
He's insane.
37 minutes a game at 36 years of age. I just wanted to say that real quick for anybody, because I'm a LeBron fan. Anyone hating on LeBron James, he is so far from done.
I love LeBron as a player, as a person. He's not done. He's one of the best, if not the best, basketball player in the world. That's still up for debate. I don't know where I stand on that. MJ, Kobe, LeBron. I think those guys are interchangeable. But to say that he's done, no way. That man's gonna play until he's 42. Just like Tom Brady, he's gonna play as long as he can.
Yeah, I think he's playing until his son gets in the league, and I think that's when he'll be with his son. And that's actually the thought of that just blows my mind. But
it's crazy.
But anyway, I just want to throw that little piece out there because I saw it today. I thought that was something to bring up because that's always a topic for debate. But the last thing before we go, quick shout out. I want to give our thoughts and prayers, condolences to the family, friends, teammates, Demaryius Thomas, one of the all-time great Broncos players of all time, one of the best X receivers of all time. I mean, I went back the day I found out that he passed and watched a YouTube video of Tim Tebow, the playoff walk-off against your Steelers. And I know that was – I know for you, you're a fan. It was not fun to watch at the time, but you go back and watch it now, dude. It gave me chills.
Dude, it's so sad to see players like that pass away so young, especially a guy like him. I mean, I was watching all the videos of people talking about him, and the thing that stood out to me was, yeah, they talked about what he did on the field, but they really talked about his, like, the type of person he was.
Yeah.
How he was a great guy. You know, and that's just so sad to hear a great person passing away, a great football player at 33 is crazy. So prayers out to his family, friends, teammates. He won't be forgotten. Respect to the Broncos for honoring him and them getting the win. That was awesome. But it's just so sad to see stories like that, man.
Yeah, man. So thoughts and prayers with him. I hate to end on a note like that. So before we go, I will say, just to remind everybody, Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler is a South Carolina Gamecock. Mike, I'll let you close this out. You can send us off, but I thought it was a great episode. And, go Cox.
All right. There's one thing I wanted to bring up, and it's going to be quick. Justin Herbert, that dude's a baller. He threw an absolute rope against the Giants. And this is a hot take, and I'm going to leave it here. I take Herbert over Mahomes right now. I'm taking Herbert over Mahomes, and we'll talk about that next podcast. I think Herbert's better than Mahomes. But we'll see you guys in a couple days when we go over some more stories, and we'll definitely see you after this week, after the NFL draft.